Foundation, promoting lifelong family connections for children and youth in foster care, on the web at aecf.org.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Warden Martin Subaru in Savoy. At Subaru's assembly plant in Lafayette, Indiana, a zero landfill status is designed to save cost and our future environment. It is part of what makes a Subaru a Subaru. Information online at wardenmartin.com or 352-8910. WILO programs are made possible in part by Bevere Cafe 2, offering gourmet sandwiches, salads, and specialty coffees with seating inside or outside in the lower courtyard of the Institute for Genomic Biology next to Morrow Plotz on the U of I campus.
This is the Afternoon Magazine on AM 580, online at will.illinois.edu and on 90.9 FM HD2 and HD3 Urbana. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. Well, we are here in a pause while the Democrats and the Republicans in the Illinois Senate caucus, and the Illinois Senate has convened a historic impeachment trial that will determine whether Governor Rod Blagojevich is removed from office. It began this afternoon at noon. We will rejoin Illinois Public Radio for their coverage, anchored by Rich Bradley and Sean Crawford, at 1:30. In the meantime, Jay Pierce is with me here in the studio this afternoon. He's the station manager for the WILL radio stations, and he also hosts Morning Edition here in Champaign, Urbana. And we thought what we would do is ask listeners, what do you guys make of this?
Mm-hmm.
What's going on?
Yeah, what do you make of the governor not coming to defend himself? He doesn't have an attorney in Springfield today. He's on television and radio shows all over the place, all over the weekend, and now today out in New York, and he's kind of bringing the case out in the media as the Illinois Senate decides the impeachment via a trial. What do you think about that? One of the things that, a couple of the things that have come up, and I suppose the caucuses are to consider, Celeste, some of the things that the House prosecutor had asked them to approve, had asked the Senate to approve as they go on in the trial. There were some late-breaking changes. One piece of evidence they'd like to introduce is a tape of a radio program that the governor did in Chicago.
On Friday.
Yeah. He was on WLS radio with Don and Roma, and in the morning. And I heard that interview, and he was talking about all kinds of things and apologizing for profanities. Then there's some tapes that they hope to get in, and various of the witnesses and moving around who's going to talk about what. So some requests were made, and I'm sure they're considering that right now and maybe eating lunch too, and they should be back in about a half hour. But, yeah, I mean, what do you make of this, everything that's going on surrounding this, the lightning rod type impact it's having on the state of Illinois? People are asking, is this going to affect the Olympic bid for 2016? Mm-hmm. News came out today, the Canadian supplier of low-cost drugs and the governor's iSave Rx prescription program, the Canadian supplier Pegasus Health Service has dropped out, saying the program cost the company hundreds of thousands of dollars and nothing happened to promote it. And so they're dropping out of that, and that's one of the issues that's coming up, some of these programs that the governor had proceeded with. And this is going to be – it's not just the charges that the federal prosecutor had brought, and that's what the House and the Senate have been trying to make clear. That case is separate, and we heard today – over the noon hour, that's probably any indictment that would come down probably won't be until April in that case. So you've got that, but House and Senate members are saying that we have different stuff to go on.
Yeah,
we have the actions or inactions of the governor over the past term and a half now to go on here that may or may not duplicate anything that was in the federal complaint.
Yeah. Listeners, if you'd like to join us this afternoon with your thoughts, maybe you saw the governor this morning on television, give us a call. Share your thoughts. 333-9455 is the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. That's 333-WILL. We also have a toll-free number, 800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL. One of the things the governor said today on television that he considered offering the Senate seat that Barack Obama vacated after winning election as president to Oprah Winfrey.
Mm-hmm. That was interesting. I don't know. Maybe she'd be a good senator. Either.
The other thing I heard about this morning was that on The View, where he also appeared, one of the panelists, ruffled his hair. And he apparently remained unruffled.
Yeah, Joy Behar. You know, and I guess, you know, there are a lot of these funny things that we're talking about, but how does that reflect on the whole thing with I'd like to know from somebody if you've thought about it, what is his strategy by going and taking this all to the media and getting attention like that? Well, the Senate is here in Springfield, considering his fate as governor. Yeah. He's not chosen to be a part of that.
Let's take a call. A listener in Champaign on line one. Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
My view is that there's no question that he's going to be impeached. But, you know, from his various appearances on television, I have a feeling that he's got a good case when it comes to the criminal. I think that his attorneys could use an insanity defense because what he's doing, in one of his interviews, he claimed that he's like Jesus and Martin Luther King and Gandhi. Well, you know, lunatic asylums are filled with people who believe that they're that. And I don't think that's just posturing. I think he really believes these things. I think he really believes that he's a world saver and that he's the friend of the homeless and the children and so on and so forth. I think he actually believes that. Well, those are hallucinations, and I just think that that would be a good strategy for him to use when it comes to the criminal trial, because that way he would save his Illinois pension. Mm-hmm. Whereas if he gets convicted there, he'll lose his pension. So I think whether he knows it or not, I think he's building up very handsomely for that kind of approach. But yes, he's going to be impeached this week. Or he's going to be thrown out of office.
Well, thanks for your thoughts. And we'll go on and take another call. A listener in Champaign on line two. Hi.
Hi. Actually, I was at a dinner party the other night, and we were talking about this situation. And we all agree that sometimes when our personal lives get so, you know, complicated, it affects our professional lives. And we were wondering if there's any substance to the rumor that Blagojevich has a girlfriend, or did have, and a child in Springfield.
Hmm. Not that I know of, but I have heard that rumor.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't heard anything about it lately.
No, you don't hear anything about it, but it's certainly, maybe it's just people wanting to make something out of nothing, but it certainly could explain why he's a little distracted and confused at the moment.
Would be. Yeah.
But there's nothing that's been in the paper. I didn't know if I missed.
No. Mm-mm. No. Yeah. No, there hadn't been anything in a while.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. All right. Well, thank you.
Yeah.
You're very welcome.
Follow
of course,
that up now that you brought that up with some of our Springfield
sources.
He's hardly
ever in Springfield.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Well, we'll check on that. That was a year. That was more than a year ago. That was a while ago. You know, in the first call, I was talking about the insanity defense, and it's not the first time that that has been mentioned. I remember very early on in our conversations, Mike Lawrence, the former Southern Illinoisan reporter, and then with the Paul Simon Institute and staff member, a chief aide to Governor Edgar for a long time, had said on the air here. He was wondering if there was some, you know, kind of delusional behavior going on there. And then when one of the governor's chief aides resigned, a few weeks ago. He wrote, I believe it was in the Sun-Times or somewhere, he wrote, or maybe it was just in his, he wrote a column of some kind. And I remember reading it, and he was talking about that. One of his suggestions was that the governor be checked.
Yeah, I think he sent it to the House Impeachment
that could
Committee.
Be it. That
and
could be
an interesting article, we got a couple more calls here we'll get to right away, an interesting article over the weekend in the Springfield Journal Register where they had some health professionals suggesting the governor is not crazy, but he might have something called a narcissistic personality disorder.
I wonder if he's crazy like a fox.
Could be.
I always wonder what the angle is.
Yeah. Let's say we take another call. Listener on a cell phone, line 3. Hi.
Hi. I think I have a split personality on this. As a native of Illinois, I am deeply embarrassed by the buffoonery that's gone on over the last couple of months. But on the other hand, as somebody who would love to see Illinois politics cleaned up, I think Patrick Fitzgerald is just the man to both prosecute the governor and, once the governor is convicted, to watch the governor sing and sing and sing in order to point out lots of other corruption in this state. And I hope Patrick Fitzgerald is just waiting for that opportunity to go after yet even more fish in a very dirty barrel.
Let me ask you a question about that as a follow-up. Do you think perhaps because there is something he might find, that's why nobody's come forward with any of this until now when the governor's been in office for a term and a half?
That's certainly possible. I think there's a sense of paralysis with many people with dirty fingers, afraid of what Blagojevich may say, and both unwilling to maintain the situation as is and yet afraid of where it's going to go.
Mm-hmm. Okay, interesting.
Thanks for the call. Let's take another call, a listener in Urbana on line 2. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I'd like to broaden this. Blagojevich is obviously unfit for office, and it's been obvious for a long time. And I really think that we need to hold our other elected officials accountable on both sides of the aisle. Every state representative, every state senator knew about the depths of his corruption and his unfitness even before his reelection. We've known that there have been investigations, subpoenas going on, and these people have stood by while we've gone for several years without an honest state budget. They could have impeached him a year ago. All the evidence is on the table. And I think that everyone, and I mean everyone from the Wisconsin-Illinois line down to Cairo, is complicit in this fiasco. And I personally commit to vote for anyone other than an incumbent in the next round of elections. The whole lot needs to be swept out, and we need to get some real reformers in who don't owe their political lives to the big money bosses. Our local representatives have just been silent on this, and it's an embarrassment.
I asked the last caller if he thought, and I hear two prongs in what you're saying, but I'd asked him if he thought that some people might be afraid of what the governor might say or what might come out if this had happened earlier. And you're also saying, well, go ahead and comment on that.
I'm not accusing our local representatives and our local state senator of being guilty of any crimes, and I'm not implying that at all. Mm-hmm. But they knew absolutely what was going on in the governor's office with state contracts, and they knew absolutely that they were sitting there quietly while the Speaker of the House and the Senate Majority Leader were colluding with the governor so that we couldn't have a state budget. Think about how this governor has wrecked the state school systems. Aren't getting paid on time. The health care facilities aren't getting paid on time. The universities have not had an adequate budget. And, it's not just Blagojevich's fault. We have to look at our local state elected officials, and they have been silent as we have gone for years without an honest state budget.
Do we also place some blame at our feet as voters?
I'm just saying, I am making a commitment, and I think we ought to have a statewide coalition, a movement that's bipartisan, that everyone signs up and commits that they will vote for anybody except an incumbent. Mm-hmm. We we were not going to get reform with the current senators and representatives. They all owe their existence. If you look at Naomi Jacobson, her election money comes from the Speaker's purse. If you look at Frerichs, his election money came from the Senate Majority Leader's purse. And so they sit there quietly while the state's business doesn't get done. I mean, think about the budget impasse. We don't have honest budget hearings. The committee system is broken. So the governor is a problem, but the stench of incompetence is really, they all ought to be voted out of office, and we ought to start with a fresh crowd.
Okay. Let's thank the caller, and we've got one more caller who's waiting for us. So let's go and take this call now. Line 4, good afternoon. You're on the air.
Yes, I'd just like to say that I called Senator Durbin's office about a week before the governor was arrested and suggested that George Ryan be kept in jail long enough to welcome the present governor. I must have been clairvoyant. But anyway, I think the previous caller here has got a lot of good points to make. There's plenty of blame amongst the other politicians that have held their nose and let him go their way because it kind of suited their purposes themselves. And I think that even the last week, I heard a comment made here on this station by one of the NPR personnel to someone was quoting someone regarding the new Treasury Secretary and his lack of paying his taxes mm-hmm. when he was supposed to. And they said, well, he's the best we got, was the quote to the reporter. And I'm saying that if that's the people that behave in that way are the best we got, it's no wonder that the country's in the financial situation it is. There's corporate malfeasance and political malfeasance, too. They all are arm-in-arm with each other, and the ordinary people really actually feel pretty much powerless to change the thing. And if they're careful, they might find themselves with a revolution on their hands someday, like back in the 1700s.
Don't you think, though, that we do have the power? It's called the ballot box. Why do you think it is that if Governor Blagojevich 2 years ago was doing such an ineffective job, as many people have suggested, why did he get reelected?
Well, for one thing, he had a lot of money, and a lot of money in your campaign coffers will put your name out in front of the public in a lot of ways, and there are a lot of, frankly, ignorant people in the world who say, oh, well, we're going to listen to all these promises, and they're going to make good on it, and maybe he'll do something for us because we need something in this particular area, yada, yada, and they usually don't follow through on their campaign promises 9 times out of 10, and that's, you know, that's where they get their power base from.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right.
We've got another couple of callers, so let's go on to a listener in Urbana. Line 1, hi.
Hi. Am I on?
Yeah.
I'd like to continue this theme because I haven't heard anything in the media, and certainly not from anyone in the Illinois Senate or representatives as to challenging those people who are actually paying to play. The system is in place. It's been in place for decades, and yet none of the people are challenging it. I just assume they're not because they're all involved in it. And getting rid of Governor Blagojevich is, you know, a drop in the bucket of overflowing corruption that's in the state. We can look just here locally. If you look at the obligate report of the governor's campaign fund, the last one for 6 months, we see that, you know, at least 3 members of the university board of trustees or their employers have paid, you know, into the Blagojevich campaign. Now, certainly, this administration has not been favorable toward the University of Illinois. And this has been ongoing for not only with this governor, but the preceding governors. In fact, they're paying both sides of the aisle just to get in, to get the positions to play. And so I'm really concerned that we have a lot of sanctimonious people now in Springfield looking into the offenses of the governor, and I don't condone those offenses, but they are also participants in pay-to-play, and none of them is talking about using this particular incident with Governor Blagojevich as an opportunity to clean up the whole system. I can only conclude that they are part of the system, and that's why we're not hearing anything from them.
All right, there you go.
There we go. And we'll take one more call this afternoon before we have to wrap up. Effingham County, line two, hi.
Yeah, I wanted to express my opinion. I think the taxpayers group has had something to do with this, especially Ron Goodwitz, when he filed charges and went to the appellate court to stop him on his some of his programs that was unauthorized. And I think really if they the General Assembly had done their job in the past, we wouldn't have all these people in prison.
Okay, well, thanks for the call. Any final thoughts, Jay, before we go back to...
Interesting comments, Celeste. Mm-hmm. It's always interesting to hear from our listeners, and very thoughtful group, and from the taxpayers group comment here to the pay for play, beyond the legal, obviously, William Cellini and some others are under investigation for various things concerning campaign contributions, but what about the rest of the General Assembly that's now looking at the impeachment documents? You know, the Senate is going to be going over this. It'll be interesting to see as it plays out over the next week, 2 weeks, however long it takes, and we'll be here with it to let you hear this in action. It'll be interesting to see what does come out, and maybe there will be some things that come out of this. You know, Pat Quinn headed the Coalition for Political Honesty back in his early days of making a name for himself in
late
the state
70s,
of Illinois.
Yeah,
yeah, late 70s. So, you know, he's known as a hold 'em accountable type of guy. Maybe if and when he becomes, and it looks like he will become the governor for at least a couple of years, you know, maybe there will be something. Maybe this won't all be forgotten in a couple of months.
Okay. Well, there we will leave it for the moment, although as this process unfolds, as time allows, like here this afternoon, we will keep you abreast of news, weather, markets, open the phone lines, and so on and so forth. So, Jay Pierce, thanks for joining me this afternoon.
Sure.
And to our listeners, thanks for taking the time and caring to call in and express your thoughts this afternoon. This is WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD2 and HD3 Urbana, the broadcasting service of the College of Media at Illinois. We are going to return in a moment or two to Illinois Public Radio for continuing coverage of the historic impeachment trial that convened this afternoon at noon in the Illinois Senate. This trial could determine whether Governor Rod Blagojevich is removed from office. In the WILL severe weather coverage area, winter weather advisory will be in effect for Champaign, Christian, Clark, Coles, Cumberland, Douglas, Edgar, Macon, Moultrie, Piatt, Sangamon, Shelby, and Vermilion counties from 6 p.m. this evening until midnight tomorrow night. The forecast for Champaign-Urbana this afternoon, mostly cloudy with a few flurries, the high 20. Tonight, cloudy with snow arriving, an accumulation of an inch or two is likely overnight, the low 13. Tomorrow, cloudy with snow, several more inches may accumulate, total accumulation of 2 to 5 inches is likely, the high tomorrow, 20. That's the forecast from Mike Sola. It's 12:30, 18 degrees in Urbana on the campus of the University of Illinois. I'm Celeste Quinn. Again, our thanks this afternoon to Jay Pierce and to our technical director, Jason Croft. We return now to Illinois Public Radio and anchors Rich Bradley and Sean Crawford.
From Illinois Public Radio, we resume live coverage of the impeachment trial of Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich in the Illinois State Senate. I'm Rich Bradley, joined by State House Bureau Chief Sean Crawford, and we're also joined by State House reporter Amanda Vinicky. We are about 10 minutes away now from the Senate resuming this first day, this historic day, of the trial, the impeachment trial of Governor Rod Blagojevich, who Sean has chosen not to participate in his defense in any way whatsoever.
That's right. He does not have an attorney present. So today, whenever any of this evidence was discussed that will be brought up during this trial, there was nobody there to question any of that at that point or to raise any objection in any way to it either. So what it does do, I think, among most people's minds, is make it that this process is likely to go a lot faster than it might have if this was being contested somehow by the governor, the defense in this case. The governor, for those that haven't been following it, has been appearing on some national talk shows this morning on Good Morning America, then later on The View, talking and again blasting the process here in the Illinois Senate, saying that the rules are unfair to him and that he has no way to defend himself, so that is why he is boycotting it. But the governor also, I think, a bit seeming to be a realist on this, saying that he doubts that he will be governor much longer. Most people think that no matter what is brought up here over the next few days, the outcome of this Senate trial, likely that the governor will be removed from office.
In the meantime, the decorum in the Senate chamber has been really very dignified. And Amanda, you have been down there. Tell us a little bit of what it's like.
You know, Rich, you are correct in that the senators, usually when you have a legislative session, there are staff milling about. People are eating, drinking, surfing the internet, doing whatever, kind of chatting with their neighbor in their desk. That's not going on. And you heard from Senate President John Cullerton asking that that proper decorum be kept. There's a pretty full gallery, actually, above the Senate chambers of both the media as well as just visitors, people who are curious and interested in watching the proceedings, and that's quite full. Again, that's not so common. On some big bills, you have a full audience, but generally, unless there's a field trip or something, you don't have that many people sitting in and watching. And again, it is quiet. People are listening to what is going on before them.
David Ellis will be back at the head of the trial when the senators return here at, if they're on time, they should return around 1:40. The Chief Justice of the Illinois Supreme Court is presiding, and that presents a whole different kind of aura in the chamber there, does it not, Amanda?
Yes, and he's asked that. He said, called it solemn and serious business. And in his words, he said, in other words, that means to be fair. And he said that he expected that of the Senate. And it is just a very historic feeling in there. And I think that everyone realizes the magnitude of this. You have a lot of senators who want Governor Rod Blagojevich out of there. He's been making trouble for Democrats in particular for quite some time, given his alliance with President Emil Jones. There was a lot of, I think, internal strife within the Senate Democratic caucus with people, with some of the senators being very angry, perhaps, with that alliance with President Jones and, you know, therefore the governor causing problems for them back in their districts. We have a lot of concern just in terms of where the state is. And so I think there is this feeling of we've got to hurry, we've got to take this seriously, and we've got to do it right so that there aren't any problems and that the state can move forward.
Sean, when David Ellis returns, he's going to offer up, be positioned to respond to questions from Democratic members of the Senate and Republican members of the Senate, both who went off their separate ways in their party caucuses about an hour ago. What kind of questioning, what kind of line of questioning do you expect we're going to hear from the members of the Senate?
Well, I assume, and again, I'm not privy to those conversations that are going on behind closed doors among the party members, but I think what we're going to hear is more regarding some of the evidence that he's already had his opening argument. He's talked about how he will present this case. And I assume there will be some questions regarding that evidence, and it could range. I mean, it could be people asking regarding the FBI wiretaps. It could be something regarding something else that is going to be brought forward. One thing that we should point out for those that might have missed it earlier is that Mr. Ellis did indicate as though while he had 13 witnesses scheduled to testify, that number could be greatly reduced. In fact, 8 of those 13 were to be House lawmakers who would recount various portions portions of the House Impeachment Committee report. That was the basis that for the impeachment vote in the Illinois House and really what triggered the Senate trial to begin. He was going to have different House members come in and explain different portions of that report. But now he's saying that that at least two of them won't be necessary to come in and talk because their testimony would be duplicative of what we've what other people might say. And then there were, I believe, was it three others that that won't that there's a possibility may not be called if an FBI agent comes in and talks about what is in the affidavit, the one that was the basis of the governor's arrest. So it could be down to just three House members. That really does limit testimony once again, and a few other folks, a few other elected officials who and others that might be coming in to testify. But this trial, you're getting the opinion that this trial could move a lot faster now than what we even thought maybe at the beginning of the day.
And in terms of these witnesses, one of those will be the FBI agent. You heard the prosecutor, David Ellis, talking about how the FBI agent won't have he said it won't be freewheeling testimony. There is going to be a very strict standard for what he will be allowed from the U.S. Attorney Patrick Fitzgerald to even talk about and hit on. I think what is interesting is in terms of the other evidence that will be presented. This is not just going to be witnesses. Obviously, we have these tapes, and that is part of what is going on in these caucuses now in terms of if they can vote to allow the wiretap tapes. He said only it'll be about 5 minutes, but depending on what's on those 5 minutes, I think it could mean a lot of more, possibly, if that's even possible, public relations trouble for the governor, as well as tape from the Don and Roma show, which the governor was just on. It was kind of his, in this big PR blitz that he's been on, that was his first big strike. And he apologized for the swears and the profanity that was in these wiretaps. And the prosecutor, David Ellis, says, you know, that's our evidence. That's the governor admitting that it's him on the tapes.
But that's his voice. And that is something that, again, as Amanda's right, this may not be the wiretaps may not take a long time to play, but it may be the only opportunity that this Senate tribunal actually hears from the governor in this case. And if that's what they're hearing, again, it could be very damning testimony to him and probably does seal his fate, I would think, a bit more. But again, if the FBI agent does come in to talk, what we've been told is there could be somebody from the U.S. Attorney's Office sitting right there to say, yes, you can answer. No, you can't answer this because it could interfere with the pending federal investigation. And so that could be a very unique situation as well.
Amanda, tell me if you know, I don't know who has the agenda or the outline or the schedule of what's to happen today, but who's going to be testifying when the Senate goes back into session?
You know, I don't think they're quite ready for witnesses yet. You're going to have these, the caucuses are being held again to submit questions, see if they have anything that they want to ask David Ellis. And whereas, unlike typically in the Senate, you know, a senator would just press their button and have the opportunity to speak, that's not what's going to happen going forward. All questions are going to be presented on a piece of paper to the Chief Justice, and then he will kind of hold court there. So, again, this is the very start. We're not quite sure how long that will take, how many questions there will be, what he will allow. If the Chief Justice doesn't want to allow anything, the Senate, by a two-thirds vote, can override the Chief Justice in any way. So we'll see. We've heard there might be the beginning of witnesses, but that isn't clear quite yet.
And we've been told this could go past to 5 o'clock or even later today. Then again, it might not. And we've also been told that to be prepared for more of these possible closed-door caucus meetings among the parties, that could occur again later today, maybe one, maybe more of those as the day goes on.
So when they come back, they're going to have to submit their questions in writing. Is that what I heard you say, Amanda?
Yes, that's correct.
And that is in the Senate rules.
That's in the Senate rules.
Okay. That they passed a couple of weeks ago that they decided to go forward.
And I think that's, again, to kind of get this sense of decorum so that you don't have a lot of political grandstanding, as this is a very ripe opportunity for. They're trying to stop that, make sure that things go forward and follow kind of a pattern. And so I think that we'll see that. And who knows what questions they may come up with. This is all new to them.
And I did want to point out something, Rich, because I've had people ask about this already today, was we have heard from the House Democrat leadership regarding the House Impeachment Committee. That committee's still open, still able to accept testimony and evidence, and there was some theory that maybe these wiretap tapes, these portions of these tapes that that are being released, could be played before that committee before they make it over to the Senate, that the House committee might come back. But we've been told today that that is probably not going to happen, that everything is likely going to the Senate trial stage, and that we may not have two different groups meeting at the same time there. So so when these tapes actually get played, still unsure about that, but it may not have to go through the House first, as was some people had speculated.
Well, I'm seeing some activity now in the Senate chamber. I see David Ellis has reappeared center stage on at least the video camera shot that I'm looking at. What do you hear coming from the podium there where the Chief Justice is presiding?
Well, and it's something to keep in mind as this goes on. The Senate has microphones and different microphones throughout that will be in use. But those microphones are often turned on, turned off, and even though there may be people milling about, you won't hear anything coming through the sound system, which we are airing. So you may hear it at times sound as though nothing is occurring, or that the sound system is off completely. Well, that's not always the case. It's just the microphone is turned off, even sometimes temporarily, so that somebody can get things together. Then they will come back on and make their announcement. But I would assume we're going to stay on a pretty tight schedule over the next few days. I think that is the plan, and we still don't know when it will begin tomorrow. We don't know how long things would go today or tomorrow or even after that point, but everybody that I've talked to say that the goal is to really keep this thing on a schedule, on track.
And just so you know, I understand that Geraldo Rivera trapped the governor outside the View and conducted an interview with him. It'll be interesting to listen to a transcript of that interview and or listen to it as well.
Yeah, I kind of had to laugh when Sean said the governor has been on some talk shows. I kind of feel like that was an understatement. He's pretty much been on all of the talk shows, from the Today Show and then ending tonight with Larry King. At least he's scheduled to do so. And notably, Patty Blagojevich was not present on The View as she was supposed to and as she was scheduled to appear on. So, it really is, I think, interesting that the governor has appeared on these. It might be a public relations strategy. Again, he's hired the PR firm that Drew Peterson used. Just in the sense that, as we're seeing with, again, this Don and Roma show recording being used and being, or at least the prosecutor asking to use that as evidence, we're seeing kind of what trouble the governor can get into by making these public appearances, by answering questions about the criminal complaint against him and about his record in office, and how that can be used perhaps to hurt him either now in this impeachment trial or going forward. Again, he has not yet been indicted. He fully maintains his innocence, but there is supposed to be an indictment coming down perhaps in April is when that's expected. And who knows if some of the language that he's saying now could come back then and be used against him.
And you have to realize the governor is probably winning the public relations war today, certainly on this, because he's open to be able to talk about different things that he wants to get out there. But at the same time, and what you're hearing in the Illinois Senate today is more procedural, getting this underway, and nobody really wants to talk too much on the merits of the case right now or any of that. So in some ways, it is the governor's opportunity, especially today, to move forward on this. But as evidence becomes, if these tapes are aired or if there's other types of evidence presented that could be very damaging to him, then any victory that he may have gained there, I think, could be lost rather quickly. And yet, as Amanda pointed out, he might be hurting himself in the long run. Some legal experts I've already heard questioning why he would want to put himself in that position.
Well, and something to hit on and further explain perhaps here is that, as Sean said, this is the governor's opportunity. He can go and say whatever he wants on all of these shows and get the national attention and acclaim. The Senate is being very careful to not do so. They've been instructed. Again, I know we've talked about the media restrictions in terms of we cannot speak at all with the prosecutors throughout the course of this. Until the Senate trial is done, we will not be hearing from David Ellis other than in his official capacity during the Senate trial. The senators, whereas there may be some, and I'm sure it's hard for a lot of them to keep quiet, and some are perhaps not being as quiet as their leaders may hope for them to, they are trying to take a step back. They are both the trial and, they are both the jury and the judge during this trial. And because of that, many of them are trying to be very cautious in what they say and to not pass judgment before a vote is taken.
I know, Sean, you and I were talking earlier in the day about what the governor hoped to gain by going on this media blitz, and I still haven't figured it out because the only thing he could end up doing is maybe hurting his case in the federal courts. He certainly hasn't helped his case in terms of the impeachment trial in the Illinois State Senate.
Well, and that's exactly right. And if he thought, I think, that there would be some public outpouring of support, I think the public is very tired of the whole situation right now. And that's not necessarily passing judgment on whether the governor's innocent or guilty. But if you talk to people, I think they want to see some resolution. Whether the governor stays in office, maybe that's the resolution that's done once this trial is over. Most don't think that's going to be the case. But at the same time, I think they're just very tired of the whole process. And the governor, remember, this arrest occurred back on December 9th, and here we are a good 6 weeks and later, still watching the entire thing unfold. And so I think people are very weary of this entire thing. And if the governor, I think, was hoping to get some groundswell of support, it probably is coming a bit too late for him.
Well, that, and I also think that some of his statements, whereas perhaps it had be seen had been seen before as Governor Blagojevich as magnanimous and jovial and kind of this friendly guy. I think that right now the attitude that he's taken has kind of become a laughingstock, not everywhere. He surely has his supporters, and I am sure that there are some individuals who see this and are feeling for him and are hearing his statements of innocence and that he's getting support. But I think you see others that, I mean, he has become kind of a fixture on late night talk shows. And Rachel Maddow, you know, when he made this statement last week comparing himself and told this big Wild Wild West rodeo cowboy story. And, you know, you see pictures of the governor with this cowboy hat on. And I think in some regards, he may be getting public notice and public attention. And, you know, and as the saying goes, there's no sort of news attention that's bad, right? But maybe. I'm not sure how many people he's winning over with this.
And just to recap, you're listening to live coverage of the impeachment trial of Governor Rod Blagojevich here on Illinois Public Radio. We're awaiting the resumption of this first day of the trial here as the senators took a 1 hour. It's been more than an hour, about an hour and 10 minutes now. Caucus break, Republicans and Democrats to return to their respective caucuses to come up with and devise a list of questions that each side of the aisle intends to present to the special House prosecutor, David Ellis. I see senators still milling around the Senate chamber. I'm ready for them to resume. How about you, Sean?
Well, I think I do think that they will get moving here rather quickly. I had gotten word from the floor that the crowd has thinned out a bit from what, and this is not the senators as much, but the onlookers, maybe media and the public who has come in to watch this. Again, this is more of a procedural thing. I think a lot of people wanting to be there for the beginning of it, but now they're going to get sort of into the, you know, it's like a criminal trial. It's always interesting when those opening arguments are made and very big statements are made at that point, and then you get into the individual bits and pieces of the trial, and sometimes it can get a bit, it can drag on quite a bit. But we have heard, you know, there have been some lawmakers quoted. These are House lawmakers. At least one I saw saying that he thought that the trial could wrap up as early as Thursday, that there could be a vote as early as that time. Now, they are scheduled to be in, as we know it, at this point through Saturday. They would take Sunday off, but then come back. However, that's just a preliminary schedule that they put together a while back. This was before they even knew about the governor's decision to not be present or have his attorneys present. So again, that likely would speed this thing up. And what we have been told, you know, that they're still keeping to that schedule right now, but yet others believe they could move through this a lot faster and actually be done before the end of the work week.
It's interesting, Shaw, you point out that the visitors' galleries are kind of clearing out now in the Senate chamber. I think a lot of people probably did, in fact, come in interested in seeing the start of a historical event, but I think they learned very quickly that the process, at least initially, on this first day, is going to be pretty dry and procedural and slow-moving and, on balance, kind of uninteresting.
Well, welcome to the General Assembly.
We're going to take a pause here at 1:50 and go to Todd Gleason for the closing market prices and settlements, and then we'll return to the Senate's consideration, the Senate trial of the impeachment of Rod Blagojevich from Illinois Public Radio in Springfield just as soon as the Senate does, in fact, reconvene and get back to action. But for now, let's go to Todd Gleason and get those numbers, Todd.
Yeah, speaking of dry and procedural, huh? Let's do the numbers from the Chicago Board of Trade. Thank you very much, Jabe. Look like this at the end of this Monday afternoon. Futures in the wheat pit for the day. We're up 9.75. The high price, 611. The low at 581.75. Settlement price at 592.5, up 9.75. May wheat, 623. The high, the low at $5.96. Settled at 605.25, up 9.75. And July futures, 634.25. The high, low at 606. Settlement price at 616.25, up a dime on the afternoon. September wheat, 655.5. The high, the low at 630.25. Settlement price at 638.5, up 9.25. And December futures, 677.25. The high, the low at 52. Settlement price at 660.25, up 9 cents. And the March futures in Chicago for the wheat pit, 691.75. The high, the low at 73.75. Settlement price at $6.75, up 9.75 on the afternoon. March corn, 402.5. The high, the low at 383.75. Settled at 393.75, up 3.25. May futures, 413. The high, the low at 394.5. Settlement price at 404.75, up 3.25. In July, 423.5. The high, the low at 405.75. Settlement price at 415.25, up 3.25. In September futures, 432.25. The high, the low at 418.75. Settlement price at 425.75 for the September corn, up 3.5 cents. December futures, 447.5. The high, the low at 29.25. Settlement price at $4.39, up 3 cents. March oat futures, 219. The high, low at 210, settlement price at 215 unchanged, May unchanged as well at $2.24.5. Soy complex down, March bean futures 10.41.5 on the high, the low at 9.91.5, settlement price at $10.09 unchanged, the May 10.48.25, the high, the low at $10, settlement price at 10.16.75, up a half. July oats, soybeans, 10.55.75, the high, the low at $10.07. Settlement price at 10.24, 3/4 higher in the August contract, 10.40, the high, the low at 10.05. Settlement price at 10.14.5, up a half cent. November soybeans at $9.68 for the high, the low at 9.31.25. Settlement price at 9.45.5, 2.25 higher, and the January futures for next year, 9.54.75, 2.5 cents higher on the day. The March bean meal, 3.25, the high, the low at 3.09.90. Settled at 3.16.30, down $2. The May down $1.90 at 3.15.80. March bean oil, $35 the high, the low at 33.36. Settlement price at 33.77, 17 higher. The May oil up 17 cents as well at 34.14. I'll be back in just a moment with the numbers from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. You are listening to WILL. This is a broadcasting service of the College of Communications here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. We are preempting a good portion of our daily program to listen to the historical events taking place in Springfield as the impeachment of Governor Rod Blagojevich continues, and we'll link up with them again in just a moment. If you are wanting to listen to the closing Mark Report, that will air live on several radio stations, including WGFA out of Watsika, WHOW out of Clinton, WKEI out of Kewaunee, if you're up in the Peoria area, and WTIM, of course, delays it at 5:30. They run the program, and you can hear it on the web at willag.org. The numbers from the CME group look like this for the afternoon. From the livestock side, nearby live cattle futures, February contract in 83.62.5 top, bottom at 82.15, settled at 82.35, down 32.5 cents. April, the high today at 86.75, the low at 85.50, settled at 85.60, down 20. In the June live cattle, 85.10, the high, the low at 83.57.5, settlement price there 82.5, down 35. August, 85.90, the high, the low at 84.25, settlement price at 84.42.5, down 45 cents. January feeder cattle for the day, 94.40, the high, the low at 93.75, settlement price at 93.75, a dime higher. The March futures, 93.55, the high, the low at 91.50, settlement price at 91.72.5, down $1.02.5. And the April futures, 94.70, the high, the low at 92.52.5. Settlement price at $92.60, down 92.5 cents. May feeders, $96.40, the high, the low at $94.27.5. Settlement price at $94.50, down $1.15. February lean hog futures, $59, the high, the low at $57.70. Settlement price at $58, down 92.5. And the April feeders, or April lean hogs, that is, $64.75, the high, the low at $62.65. Settlement price at $62.77.5, down $1.62.5. May contract, $75.30, the high, the low at $73.70. Settlement price at $73.95, down $1.45. And June futures, $75.85, the high, the low at $74.70. Settlement price at $74.90, down 85 cents. Once again, the closing mark report will go on this afternoon. You can listen to us live on the website if you'd like. Just go to the ag portion of WILL's website, or willag.org, and hit listen live to ag programming, not listen live to the radio station, and we'll be there. Or you can tune in one of our other many other radio stations, listen to us as a podcast as you'd like, or dial in this number at 217-333-3434 at about 3:15, and we'll post a portion of the analysis segment there. That's 217-333-3434. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris in McHenry at 815-344-7213. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
And we will return you to Springfield and Illinois Public Radio's coverage of the Senate's impeachment trial against Governor Rob Blagojevich in just a moment. Let me run down the weather advisories that we're going to have in effect. A winter weather advisory will be in effect for central Illinois from this evening through tomorrow night. A winter storm warning will be in effect for southern Illinois and extreme southern Indiana from this evening through Tuesday night, and a winter storm watch will be in effect for central and south central Indiana from tonight through Wednesday morning. For our severe weather coverage area, the winter weather advisory will be in effect for Champaign, Christian, Clark, Coles, Cumberland, Douglas, Edgar, Macon, Moultrie, Piatt, Sangamon, Shelby, and Vermilion counties from 6 this evening until midnight tomorrow night in and around Champaign-Urbana. We're expecting a few flurries this afternoon, a high of 20 degrees today. Tonight, cloudy with the snow arriving. Accumulation of an inch or two is likely overnight. The low 13, and then tomorrow, cloudy with snow. Several more inches may accumulate, so the total would be between 2 and 5 inches by the end of it tomorrow night. And tomorrow's high about 20 degrees. It's 19 on Friends Plaza outside of Campbell Hall for public telecommunication here in Urbana. And it's 2 minutes before the hour of 2 o'clock. I'm Jay Pierce. Thank you for listening to member-supported WILL AM 580 and FM 90.9, HD2 and HD3 Urbana. We're also online at will.illinois.edu. And we'll return you now to Springfield. We'll be bringing you as much coverage as we can of the Illinois Senate's impeachment trial against Governor Rod Blagojevich to determine whether the governor should be removed from office. We'll be breaking as permitted by the sequence of events for news and market updates and the like. But for now, let's go back to Springfield and Illinois Public Radio's Rich Bradley, Sean Crawford, and Amanda Vinicky.
The governor's arrest, and that includes a bond rating being reduced, costing the state money on a bond sale and borrowing money there. And then there was also the governor's security clearance, a federal security clearance being revoked, and somebody will talk about that. But really the biggest evidence, and the one everybody is watching for and listening for, is the tapes, the wiretaps, even though these are just a portion of the tapes, and certainly not as explosive maybe as what was outlined that people have talked about when it comes to the selling of the U.S. Senate seat. That is not going to be included. It doesn't appear in these tapes. These are about some legislation that was pending. But that is certainly, I think, going to be the biggest piece of evidence that they present,
Sean,
here.
But very, very briefly, I want to alert stations. We're going to provide them with an opportunity here to get in a station break before we return to the Senate floor. You're listening to live coverage of the impeachment trial of Governor Rob Blagojevich on IPR, Illinois Public Radio.
And this is WILL AM 580 and FM 90.9, HD2 and HD3 Urbana.